Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes for today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rickc@ericloffholm.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out in our Facebook group. You can find the link in the email message that I sent out earlier. You can also just search for Sales Technology Training program, and that will find it. And I also encourage you to add it to your list of favorites so that it's easy to locate. Now, let's see. You can also access the audio recordings from the calls out on the website. Just go to salestechsystems.com/stp-archives, and that will get you access to that. And you'll also find that link in the email. And the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. There are 12 modules of content that we go through. And today, as we go through this information, I've got a lot of excellent ideas that I will be sharing with you, and we're going to be focused in talking about e-commerce and sales pages. And this is particularly good because it's going to help you to get into action to learn techniques and strategies that will allow you to generate additional income online, and that's always a positive thing when you can accomplish that. Now, e-commerce is simply using the internet to make money. And so some people don't know what that term is, but it's just a really simple definition. It's going to help you to get into action to be able to generate income online. And you'll benefit from having e-commerce systems in place that will help you to accomplish that as well. Now, you can include links on your website for people to click and buy. So you want to look for things that you can do that will give you an opportunity to make it easy for people to buy. By the way, I'll also talk about we'll talk about sales pages, and I'll give you an example of one, and we can walk through it while we're on the call today. Copywriting is the skill of writing persuasive text, also known as copy, to convince prospects to buy. And I could spend a lot of time talking about copywriting techniques, but let me share a couple quick details. In fact, I'll just share a quick formula here. We'll start with that, and then I'll kind of break it down a little bit more. In any kind of advertisements that you write or any kind of messages that are intended for marketing purposes, you can follow the AIDA formula. AIDA stands for A-I-D-A, and that is an acronym which spells out attention, interest, desire, and action. So, and whatever you're doing, any kind of e-commerce, sales pages, whatever it is, you want to grab somebody's attention. And usually that's going to happen at the very top of the page. As soon as somebody lands on the page, you're going to have to do something to grab their attention and encourage them to take action. Next is interest. So once you have their attention, you only have it for a few seconds, and so you better do something with it. You've got to create interest. The whole purpose of having somebody get out to a page is to encourage them to read the information out there, or it could also be to watch a video. So try to get directly to the point of what it is that you're offering. And, you know, one way to look at it is you want to draw them through the copy. You want to draw them through the copy. You want to have them scroll down and read the information, getting ideas. And, you know, if the copy is good, then, you know, oftentimes when people are reading copy, they'll skim through it. They don't necessarily just read word for word. But if they like what they're reading, they might go back, scroll back up, and then reread some of the sections. As people are reading copy, they're kind of coming initially from a place of, well, I don't know about this. I don't think I'm interested in this, to, this sounds interesting, to, I wonder if I could do this, to, becoming convinced that this is exactly what they want to do. So, you know, oftentimes people will scroll up and down and reread information that they want to if they're really interested in it, if they want more details. And, you know, that's a hallmark of a compelling offer, is it really gets people thinking and wanting to sign up, wanting to purchase, wanting to participate. So that's something, that's a goal to strive for in your copy, to accomplish that. Now, what are the components needed to generate sales online? What are all the different pieces that you need to have in place to make that possible? Let me break this down into the different steps or the different components that you're going to need. So for one, you're going to need a website. I mean, ultimately, if we're talking about things that you're doing online, it needs to be on a website. You need to have a website, and then you need to have multiple pages on the site to be able to accomplish what it is that you're trying to accomplish. You're going to need a sales page. So it's not enough just to have a website. If you really want to generate sales, then you need to have a web page that's really optimized for generating sales. It's not about having a quick paragraph and then a link to go click and purchase something. It's about having well thought out copy that talks about a compelling offer and makes it clear that you're offering this oftentimes at a discounted price and possibly for a limited time, and that people can click and take action. Of course, you'll need copy. Again, copy refers to words that are persuasive and influential, so those are the words that go on the page which convince people to take action. You'll need a purchase link, so you need something that gives people an opportunity to click and purchase. And there are many different ways that you could generate sales online. You could ask somebody to pick up the phone and call a number. You could ask them to email you, and you'll follow up. But really, the most effective way, the best practice, is to have a link. Could be a PayPal link, could be a link out to for a shopping cart. There just needs to be something where people can click and then complete the transaction. And when you have that, then you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to generate a sale online. And you can even do that systematically. You may also need a shopping cart. So if you want to be able to handle orders online, then a shopping cart is a great tool that you can use. You can use links off of PayPal, but sometimes there are some limitations around that. You can actually integrate a merchant account or PayPal into a shopping cart. And so when people click to purchase, they're actually going to an order form through your shopping cart, and they can fill out the information, and then from there it submits a transaction. So you'll also need potentially a merchant account and or a PayPal account to be able to collect funds. That's pretty essential for online marketing. You'll need a thank you page. Once somebody purchases whatever it is that you're offering, then you want to take them to a web page that acknowledges and thanks them and confirms their purchase and all those types of details. And finally, autoresponder email sent after the purchase. So once somebody purchases, then you want to have an email message sent out automatically afterwards. So let's take a step back here for a moment, and let's just evaluate where you are today. So I want you to think about your own business. How effective are you in each one of those areas, each one of the items I just described there? Would you say that you are very effective or only partially effective? It might be time to take a step back and think about that, and then think about what shifts you need to make in order to be able to accomplish the results that you want. All right, let's talk about sales pages. And this is one of my favorite topics because it's directly related to making money. So first of all, I want you to do an exercise here. I want you to think about what product do you have today that you could offer on a sales page. So first of all, let me define what a sales page is and explain it to you. A sales page is a web page that is designed to sell a product, a service, or a bundle or package, which would be a combination of products and services. And so essentially, you have an opportunity to create a sales page, put it up online, and then send people out to it. So how do you get people out to a sales page? Well, there's a number of different ways that you could do it. First, you could tell somebody over the phone. You could be talking to them and say, hey, go to this website. and that will lead them directly there to the sales page. You can host a teleseminar, a webinar, a conference call, or a Google Hangout, deliver a presentation, and at the end you could share a link to your sales page. You could also send out an email and describe an offer and then include a link out to the out to the sales page. And you can also create a video and have somebody watch a video and then send them out to the sales page. Now typically the longer the time that you have to develop trust and rapport and to communicate, the more effectively people are probably going to take action and click and go out to a sales page and then actually purchase. So what are best practices for sales pages? Well, for one, I want you to start paying attention to the different types of sales pages that you see. And if you in fact, you might even start as you locate or identify sales pages, capturing those website addresses and then storing them online for reference. I like using spreadsheets as a tool for collecting information like that. So you could set up a spreadsheet, for instance, which listed different sales pages that you come across. All right, let's go through, actually before we go through the example here, I want to pop out to the website real quick. And I think I'm going to put somebody on the spot today on the call. I see that, in fact, I spoke to Roy Rasmussen earlier. He's on the call today. Roy is a copywriter. And so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit later, Roy, probably about 4:35 p.m. I want to bring you on the call and ask you to share three tips for writing effective headlines. So if you're willing to do that, please post down in the Facebook group and let me know if you'd be willing to share three tips on writing effective headlines for sales pages. Okay, and I do see we've got quite a few comments out here. Let's set a comment goal for today. So it looks like we're up to about 16. So let's set a goal of 45 comments for the call today. Okay. And I was going to check to see who shared what product they have. And I'm not seeing, Alan posted the question. He said, what product could you offer on a sales page? But I don't see anybody answering the question. So I want you to think about that and then go post that out in the group. Let me know what is a product or service that you have right now. And you can just name it outright. You know, I have this class, or I have this product, or I have this service that I can offer. So just think about something that you could offer on a sales page and then post the name of that out in the group, and then I'll check that a little bit later. Roy shared the tips right here. Roy, I'm going to bring you directly on the line to share them. So I'll let you explain those directly on the line so you can elaborate on each one of those a little bit longer. But thank you for being responsive and coming up with a quick list. Okay, I'm going to bring up a web page here, and I'll share it with you, and you can go type it in and bring it up as well. It is – actually, you know what? Shoot, I forgot. I meant to – oh, I know what. Hang on. Yeah, I forgot to change this link. Hang on. It should actually be – let me test it first here. One moment. Okay, good. Looks good. All right, I'm going to share this link. So, example of a sales page. So it's salestechsystems.com/tech, T-E-C-H. And I included the link out on the Facebook page, so you can go out there and share, or not share, but you can go out there and take a look at it. And I want to spend a little bit of time walking through the sales page here and just kind of explain this and break this down, because if you're interested in generating sales online, then you're going to benefit from having a well-planned and executed sales page, which helps to grab attention, create interest. I forgot to finish out the ADA formula. The last two letters were for desire and then action. So in addition to creating interest, you want to build desire. So people typically are going to buy something only if they really desire it, if they want it. And so your copy needs to create that desire, create that want. And then the final step, action, refers to the call to action. You need to have a clear call to action where you indicate exactly what you want people to do, what action to take to sign up, purchase, buy online or offline for that matter too. All right, so going back to the web page here, the sales page, on many of my sales pages, I include an initial banner. This is optional. I like the banner because it creates a nice graphic look and feel for the page. It grabs people's attention. It draws them in. I also put my photo and name on there and expertise, and that helps to position me as an expert. And so, and the other thing it does, see, there's another value in putting your picture on there. It actually lowers resistance, because if somebody goes to a website and they have to scroll around and they cannot find who it is that has that website, that's an automatic lack of credibility, because they don't know who's behind the company. Maybe there's an about page, but it doesn't mention anything about who's in the company. And so, you know, nothing screams fly by night more than not indicating, you know, who is behind the website. So there's a value in just being right up front and putting it right out there. And so I like to put my name and my picture right up there, because then they can see who it is. And if they've already had a positive association with you, then that naturally carries forward. The next component to a sales page is are the headlines. And I typically use three different headlines. I use a pre-headline, a main headline, and a sub-headline. And again, I'll have Roy share a few more details about how to write, or tips to write, headlines a little bit later, but let me just give you the structure here for the moment. So the pre-headline becomes above the main headline and often, you know, adds additional information. I like to use it for identifying the specific audience. Like on this one, it says attention, sales professionals, network marketers, coaches, public speakers, and small business owners. So I'm establishing who the audience is for this specific product. And it helps narrow down the list so that when people, you know, really when people arrive there and they fall into one of those categories, they say, oh, okay, this is for me. The main headline typically is going to be in the largest font size and also usually in the brightest color. I prefer using red. There's something about the color red. Red actually pops out. There's something about the way that your eye perceives red. It's one of the reasons that it's used, for instance, with fire engines and other things. Red is an attention-getting color. But you can also use other colors as well in headlines. And, you know, choice of color often comes down to, you know, maybe matching with your graphic look and feel. And so for some sites, for some branding, red doesn't work well with that. So they might go with a different color. Then below the main headline is the subheadline, and that is used to share additional information. It can also be used to create scarcity or urgency or provide additional information. Sometimes, like on teleseminars and webinars, I'll indicate that when they enroll, they'll receive access to the live webinar and also a video recording. So it's providing additional information there. It helps to answer an objection, which is, I'm not sure if I'm going to be available for this event. And so by telling them that I'll provide them with the recording, then they go, oh, okay, I can just get the recording. And then they'll register. So it's a strategy for increasing the number of registrations. Now, below that, then, is the copy. And in fact, a headline itself is copy. Any words technically on the page are copy. On a sales page, the whole purpose is to sell something. Whereas, for instance, on a blog, the purpose is to inform, educate, possibly entertain people, and that's referred to more as content. So you have content and copy. Content is information that adds value. Copy is writing that's persuasive and influential. So within the body of the sales page is what I call body copy. There are different terms that people use for it, but it's the main copy that's in there. It's part of the purpose of it is to state the problem, like what is the problem that people have, what are they trying to solve, and getting them to relate to this, like, oh yeah, you know, that's a big problem for me. Because if you can get somebody to acknowledge that they have a problem and that it's a problem that they want to fix, then it's a lot easier then to move toward the solution and providing the solution. So part of that initial copy is to bring out the problem. Then shifting gears and getting into talking about whatever the product is. And there's a couple different things. Most of the sales pages that I have are to offer training programs. So different products, different services might have different needs or different designs as far as how you would structure the copy. But what I typically do is after the initial copy, then I will include a list of things that they will learn. You know, what am I going to teach them? Then I'll break that down. Then I go through a breakdown of components. So I list out individual pieces. And this is an important distinction for a sales page. If you want to be able to generate more sales online, if you want to be able to, you know, get more e-commerce, if you want people purchasing and buying online, then one of the best practices that I've found is that when you create a sales page, you not only just offer a product or a service, but you offer a bundle or a package. And that just means that you're taking several things, you're pulling them together into one package. And one of the reasons that this works is that typically what happens is it creates a higher perceived value. If there's just one thing and it's like, okay, here's this thing and it's $100, but you can sign up today for $50, then that's going to be like, okay, that's interesting. That sounds like a pretty good offer. But then if you say, okay, we have this thing for $100 and we have that thing for $500 and we have this thing for $750, and then you start adding everything up and it's like, and the whole package is worth $5,000, but you can enroll today for only $997. And then it's like, wow, we went from $5,000 down to $1,000. That's a really great deal. The other benefit here is that, well, let me just share it's not really a quote, it's more of a statement. You may have heard this before. It's sell the sizzle, not the steak. Sell the sizzle, not the steak. And let me give you an example of this. So let's say that you work at an apartment complex, and so you sign people up for leases for apartments. So people get excited about, you know, living in a new place, and they so you take them around and you show them the apartment where they're going to be living. And then you take them and you show them the pool and you show them the fitness center and whatever else, what other kind of amenities that they have there. Now, the interesting thing is many tenants in an apartment complex do not take advantage of the amenities. But many will sign up and choose an apartment complex because of the amenities. So people get excited about that. It's the sizzle. The steak is the apartment. The sizzle is the pool, the fitness center. You know, they see that and they think, oh, yeah, it'd be so easy for me just to walk down here every day and work out in the morning. Boy, I can really see myself doing that. I can get healthy. You know, and in reality, they're probably not going to do that. But that's what gets them excited. And so with a product bundle or a package, then it makes it much easier to sell the sizzle, not the steak, because you've got more pieces. You have, you know, you may have bonuses that you add in. That gets people excited. That gets them interested so that they want to sign up. And each person's a little bit different. Kind of the more that you have in there, the more you'll, you know, likely meet the needs of the different people who are, you know, taking a look at this product that you have. So it gives you a wider base to be able to cover different people and satisfy their needs. Now, by the way, while we're talking about sales pages, let me just speak to a moment to the look and feel of a sales page. When you set up a sales page, I don't recommend just having it as a standard page on your website because, for one, most web pages on your site will have the navigation menu across the top. It'll have whatever your standard banner or the header image is at the top of the page, and then it would have your navigation links. It might have sidebar links and everything else like that. If you put a sales page on that, then what happens is people may end up clicking on one of the other links. See, the confused mind doesn't buy. When you present people with a page and there's a dozen different options, things that they can do, click, then they're going to get into action and start clicking, and pretty soon they're off your page and they won't be coming back. So the whole point with a sales page is when you send people there, that's the only option there is to click and purchase. So as far as the look and feel, it's going to look a little bit different than the rest of the site. You might have some unique graphics. You may have certain background boxes, like color boxes that you use. It may have the use of check marks, like big check marks, red, green, something else like that, that grabs attention. So these are all devices to make the sales page look more professional, enhance the credibility, and draw out the points to make it easier for people to read them. Okay, let me just make a quick note here. All right. Now, so as I'm scrolling down, and again, you can follow along by going to salestechsystems.com/tech. Another component of the of a sales page are testimonials. Testimonials are essentially an endorsement or a positive recommendation or referral from someone else that talks about the quality or the benefits that they received from a specific product or service. And a best practice in setting up a testimonial is to include name and also a photo of the person who provided the testimonial. Now, I also recommend putting your photo in your bio on the page. So I mentioned I have my photo in the header image at the top, but I also include my photo in my bio in toward the bottom of the page. And again, this goes back to the concept that you know, if people are searching online, they go to somebody's website, they get to a page, they're looking at it, and they're trying to make a decision about whether to purchase this or not, but they don't really know who's behind the website. They don't know anything about them. And therefore, they choose not to participate. Whereas by including that information in multiple places, that it encourages people, it essentially establishes your credibility. It increases your, you know, reputation by having that on there. Another component of a sales page is to have a money-back guarantee. So you might want to think, what is your guarantee? What guarantee do you offer for products? Write that up and include that on the page. And then another component is to break down the offer. If you have an offer with multiple components that are each priced differently, Then you'll want to recap the value of each of those items and then roll it up into the total. So you want to give people the total value of the package, and then you want to give them the discount that they will receive. And then finally, at the bottom of the page, you want to have a place where they can purchase. And I recommend using a box, a big box that people can click on. Like on this program, if you scroll down to the bottom, it says register now. So you'll benefit, by the way, in creating sales pages if you use the proper or the right tools. So there are different tools that are available that will be able to accomplish what it is that you want. So include a big buy button, and that increases the likelihood people are going to click and buy. In fact, I'm surprised at how many pages I've been to over the years that have a either no option to purchase or really make you have to dig and figure out where it's supposed to be. Okay. Let's go ahead and open up for questions. So if you have a question, feel free to post that within the group. And I'm going to make my way back to the top of the list and go ahead and read through some of the comments that are out there in the Facebook group. Roy Rasmussen says, e-commerce equals using the internet to make money. He says, copywriting is a list of persuasive text such as sales pages. And also shared the AIDA formula, AIDA, attention, interest, desire, action. And Roy, I'll bring you on here in about 5 minutes to share ideas regarding the writing effective headlines for sales pages. All right. Roy said, draw them to the copy with an interesting headline and or graphic. Roy said, a site gives you a platform for e-commerce. Absolutely. Roy said, you can also use a site of a hosting service such as Amazon's Kindle Bookstore or iTunes. Yeah, that's a great point Roy mentions there, is that sometimes people get locked into the idea that they have to sell things on their website. But there are a lot of powerful ideas that create the opportunity for you to purchase or to sell things through different places online. And so, just like somebody who or a manufacturer who creates a product and wants to get it into stores, like, for a lot of companies, they want to get into Walmart just because of their massive distribution all over the world. And so, if you have a product in your store, essentially on your website, you have, a certain amount of traffic to your site. But just imagine if you got your product out to a site that had a ton of traffic and a ton of different ways to create visibility for that and get people there. So great point, Roy. And by the way, you can also do something similar with joint venture partners. You could find a joint venture partner who is willing to sell your product for them and then post the information up on their page. You can also do that through affiliate marketing. Alan Murphy said you need a website with multiple pages and a sales page. And I would also suggest that multiple sales pages too. Roy said link connects your sales page to your payment processing service. Yeah, I can just speak to I'll speak to two different systems. One is the system I use, which is One Shopping Cart. So if I need to add a link onto a page, if I want to have like a big register now button on the page and I want to be able to click on that and then have it processed through my shopping cart, then I have to go into my shopping cart service and get the link. So I create a product. Once the product is created and I've established all the details, then I go, there's a place where I could go and click and then copy the URL. And it's like a really long combination of letters and numbers. And so I copy that, and then I go create a hyperlink on the button on that web page. And if you don't know how to hyperlink things on a web page, it's pretty easy. All you have to do is typically highlight the image or highlight the text that you want to create the link for. And then there's a link button. It looks like a sideways 8 or like the infinity symbol. You click on that, and then you copy and paste the link for your shopping cart in there, and then save it, and you're good to go. And you can also do a similar thing through Infusionsoft. It allows you to create order forms and then include them. Roy said, a shopping cart lets you sell multiple items at once. Yeah, that's one component of a shopping cart. If you have ever purchased anything, for instance, on Amazon.com, then you're able to add things to a cart. I don't usually use the cart functionality itself because if I'm sending people to a sales page, I'm really just wanting them to purchase that one product. So I don't want them necessarily going around and looking for other products and then clicking and adding them to a cart and having to check out with a cart. The confused mind doesn't buy. And oftentimes people, when they have a choice like that, when they're in something like an online store and they start adding stuff to a cart, then they might feel when they take a look at everything like, oh, wow, I can't believe how expensive this is. I don't want to purchase this right now. And so they've added too much in there. And so now there's a barrier or resistance. Whereas if you're just focused on that one product and selling that one product, then you tend to get more of the right result. Roy said, thank you pages enable you to confirm purchases and deliver digital products. Great point. So what Roy's indicating here is oftentimes when you purchase something online, if it's something for that has a digital download, then you would want to fulfill on that as soon as possible. And so ideally after people purchase and then they're at their computer, they've purchased it, now it redirects them to a success page or a thank you page, and then you include the links right there where they can go get access to the information. And you can do that by just including links to download products, or you could do it, for instance, by giving access to a membership site where they can go and find that information. All right, Roy said, autoresponder email lets you follow up purchase with confirmation, receipt, delivery instructions, and follow-up marketing. Yeah, and by the way, you can do both a single autoresponder, and you can also do multiple autoresponder messages in a series. And so that can be very powerful, having a series of messages that go out over time. And this is particularly effective. This is where you really get into automation. So I'll just give you a quick example here. One strategy that a lot of internet marketers use is that they sell a low-cost product online. And they might initially start off with a free opt-in. So they might have run an ad, for instance, like Google AdWords or a Facebook ad, and then drive out to an opt-in page. So there might be a video there. You watch a video. You opt in. And now that takes you to a success page or a thank you page where they would offer a product. Maybe there's another video, and then they offer you a product. And it's probably going to be, in some cases, it's a low-cost product, and so there's low resistance because oftentimes when people encounter you for the first time, like you're an unknown quantity, they don't know who you are, they don't know your reputation or anything like that, then they're reluctant to just plunk down a lot of money. But they might be willing to make a small purchase. And there's a value in getting people to buy things. Eric Laufholm says a buyer is a buyer is a buyer. Once you have somebody purchase something from you, it changes the nature of the relationship. And you begin to build trust and rapport even faster. Because what happens is when people spend money, then they tend to extract out the value of what it is that they're being offered. So, you know, if they purchase a product, then they're going to want to take advantage of it and experience the benefits of what it is that you're offering. And then once they get the benefit, then it's like, okay, now they're a satisfied customer, and now they may be interested in purchasing something else. And so through an autoresponder series, you could continue to send out a series of messages over a couple of weeks, and then upsell them to another product or service. These are some of the secrets to generating sales online. All right, Alan said, what product could you offer on a sales page? And I'm scrolling down to see if anybody else has shared what product they think they can offer. And so hang on a second. Let me refresh. And it looks like we're up to 31 comments. Great job. Our goal today, I believe, is 45. Okay, Roy said, drive traffic to your sales page with phone calls, webinars, teleconferences, video conferences, videos, speeches, emails, direct mail, ads. That's a pretty comprehensive list right now. Great job, Roy. And speaking of Roy, let me go ahead and bring Roy directly on the line here. Hang on a second. Hello, Roy.
Rick.
Welcome to the call. I can hear you now.
All right.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your experience in copywriting? How many years have you been writing copy, and what kind of projects have you worked on, both content and copywriting?
Well, I started promoting seminars on the martial arts circuit in the 1990s, and the style of copywriting that was kind of popular for that then was kind of similar to John Carlton's, and that was kind of some of my earliest copywriting. And I was writing direct mail pieces for that and brochures. So I started before the internet, really, and moved over to the internet from there. And
wow.
So I've done copy for a number of different things then, and I think the thing that you asked me about was headlines. And I jotted three tips for headlines in the Facebook group. And I guess what I'd say about that in general first is that when you're making an offer through copy, there's the product or service that you're selling, there's you, and then there's the person that you're offering it to. And I kind of visualize it as a relationship between those three things. So you kind of think of that as a triangle. What you're trying to do is you're trying to connect some feature or benefit of what you're offering to the person's interests. And the first thing you need to do then is kind of be very familiar with both of those things. First of all, the product or service itself, and as far as what are its different features, what are the benefits of those features, what are the practical values that someone could get out of that, and that gives you an idea what someone might be interested in. And then you match that to whatever audience you're talking to and see what is their range of interest. So you need to do your market research for that. And so when I'm designing a headline, I'm looking for a match between those sets of things. And so there's actually a number of different things that go into that. But the ones that I mentioned in the Facebook group are, first of all, what is the problem? That either that the product or service solves or that the person you're talking to is interested in. The second thing is, what is the benefit of having that problem solved, which is kind of the flip side of the problem. Those things are very closely related to each other. So an example might be someone's, you know, overweight and they want to lose weight, and the benefit of that might be better health, or they might be better for their self-esteem. Their ability to track relationships. So there's a number of different benefits that go with that, a solution to that problem. And then the other thing that I mentioned is identifying the audience. And there's a few ways you can do that. You can just be very simple and say you, which is often in a headline somewhere. And it can be subtle, but it directs the headline to a person then, so you're not just talking into the air like I am now. And then the other thing would be that you can name your demographic. So an example would be Bostonians who want to lose weight or need to lose weight would be an example of a headline that combines a couple of those things, because it's mentioning a geographical area, and then it's mentioning the problem that someone might be looking to have solved. So that's one example. And I pulled up a swipe file while we were waiting, so I'm going to give some examples of a few different headlines that kind of follow some of those principles. So some that name the audience. For investors who hate paying commissions is an email subject headline. So in that example, we have the target audience is named. It's the investors. And then the problem that they have is that they hate paying commissions. So we combine those two things together, and we have a headline. And that's for an email subject headline, but you can usually adapt that to a sales page. Another example, what every investor must know about IBM. And it's, again, naming investors as a target audience. For mature women only. And that headline, it tells you exactly who you're talking to. So if you're not someone reading that who identifies yourself as a mature woman, you're not going to be interested in that, but that's okay because then it narrows down your audience to the people that you're trying to attract with that particular headline. So I have some more swipe file examples here, but let me give you a chance to respond here, Rick. Anything you want to say about some of that?
Yeah, well, let me just tie right into what you said there, which was referring to a swipe file. For those of you who don't know, let me explain the concept of a swipe file. In marketing, you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. In fact, one of the best things you can do is to take a look at what other people have done and then borrow ideas. And you can even look at things that you've done in the past. So the easiest way that you can access that information is to develop a swipe file. And the concept of a swipe file is something that could be in paper, is something that could be electronic. You could create for email subject lines, you could create a notepad file or a Word file and then list out different subject lines that you find. And so part of your marketing effort should be to compile and gather different examples from other people. You'll find a lot of benefit from that over time because it's going to help you to avoid writer's block. If you sit down to write a headline and you're just looking at a blank piece of paper, it's going to be difficult to find the inspiration to come up with that great headline. Whereas if you have a swipe file, you can immediately look at it and look at specific examples. And you can create multiple swipe files for different things. So in this instance, you could create a swipe file for headlines. And so Roy just gave you a few. You could search online. You could find others and start compiling a list of headlines. And so when you go to write a headline, instead of having to start off with, you know, a blank sheet of paper, you start off with a list that really it's almost like a memory jogger or an idea generator that helps you to get into action. So back to you, Roy.
Yeah, and, you know, along those lines, there's just thousands and thousands of headlines that are already out there that have been written, and the best ones have been sifted through and put into lists. So you really don't need to reinvent the wheel there. You can just, you know, you can find one that's even for a totally different product but has the structure that you're looking for and borrow that and just change the wording so that it fits your product or service. But the formulas are out there, and that's the best place to start for a beginner copywriter. I mean, you can get creative as you become more advanced at copywriting, but it's not rocket science. It's not great literature. You're just looking to make a very simple sales point. So for a beginner copywriter especially, I think a swipe file is a great place to start. And I'll give a few examples of some different subject lines here that are a little more benefit-driven. So an example, lose weight while you sleep. This is offering the benefit of weight loss while you sleep, so it's kind of appealing to the desire to learn something without much effort, and it might fit like a hypno program that you listen to on audio while you're sleeping. But that's an example. Earn $90,000 a year repairing cracked windshields. So here we have a financial benefit mentioned, and then we have something that you're doing to get that financial benefit. So it and again, there's a bit of an appeal there, the idea that there's something fairly easy you can do that you're going to make a lot of money at. So there's an offer there. And that's one other thing I want to emphasize, is that really the offer underlying your headline is often more important than the wording itself. People have an idea kind of there's some magic words or something that makes a great headline. That's part of it, but the real important thing is a strong offer. And I would say, you know, start with a very strong offer, a strong benefit, and a risk reduction before you write the headline, and then the words will come out of that. And you can sometimes, you know, have a weekly headline for a great offer and you're still going to sell stuff, but you want to have a strong offer. Well, I've been talking a bit here, so let me get back to you, Rick. Anything else you'd like to comment on there?
No, I think that's good. I think you did a good job of giving us some additional thoughts around headlines. Do you have any free resources you'd like to share with the folks that are on the call today or listening in?
I don't have one at the moment. Yeah, you did put me on the spot there, so I don't have one.
Do you want, what about your one of your websites?
Well, I'll tell you what, I would recommend that people look at, you have some social media scripts that are pretty good. So that's one resource that I would recommend to everybody.
Okay. Very good.
I don't remember what the link is for that, though.
Okay. I'll have to look that one up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Roy. Thanks for
Thank
participating
you,
today. You're welcome.
All right.
So we've got a couple minutes left on the call. I want to go back to the Facebook group, and let's see. Our comment goal is 45. I think we're edging up there. Let me find out where I left off. Okay, Susan is on the call today, Susan Joy Schlieff, and she says, I don't have anything right now to sell on a sales page. I tend to make free offers online and then try to get people to the point where they would want to schedule a free consultation, and that's where I would sell them my video services or presentation design services. Well, that sounds like that might be an offer right there, is to sell one of your services. I've often used a sales page to sell a service, not just a program or something like that. So sales pages work very well for services also. And, you know, oftentimes as you're talking to people and explaining it, they, you know, you get them to the point where they're interested in signing up, and then you could just lead them directly to, you know, collect a, you know, a credit card or something else to immediately process a transaction. But you could also send them out to a sales page too. And that, and oftentimes if they're on the fence, then when they look at the sales page, that helps to provide additional information as well. Roy says, possible headline components, pre-headline, main headline, and sub-headline. Susan said, I'm having a deja vu moment. I remember hearing Rick describe all this before. Was that 3 months ago, or maybe it was the online marketing call? Yeah, I talk about sales pages in a couple of my programs, so you probably may have heard that recently or a couple months ago. Roy said, I think it was the online marketing call where we discussed writing copy recently. Roy said, a different context. Roy says, offers can bundle several items into a package for additional value. Yes, absolutely. There's just something compelling about having an offer where you have multiple things bundled together. And it may not fit for every price point. Like if you're selling something for $19.95, you're probably not going to bundle, you know, five other items with it. But, you know, take a look at infomercials. Oftentimes during an infomercial, as they're selling a product for $19.95 or something else like that, oftentimes they will have a bonus. It reminds me of the old Ginsu knife commercials and other things like that. Oftentimes they'll say, and when you act now, within the next 15 minutes, we'll also send you blah, blah, blah. And they've got another product that they're going to bundle in with it, something that's related and, you know, or something totally different. But typically it's going to be in the same venue or the same area. Like if it's, you know, Ginsu knives would be a kitchen product, so they would give you some other kitchen product that you would find useful. Alan said, a sales page should not have any links. The only option should be to click and buy. Yeah, and the only exception to that rule is typically on a sales page as well as other pages, you should include a link to the privacy policy and terms and conditions page. And those are things that you need to do for compliance. And also because of that rule, I would typically put those at the very bottom, the footer of the page, so that, you know, only if somebody scrolls to the very bottom would they see those links and feel a need to go out there and check them out. Or I said, oh, and by the way, on those links, I would typically, if people click on them, I would have them open into a new window, rather than just like click and take you to the page. Roy said, make your purchase mechanism highly visible. Yeah, absolutely. You don't want people to have to search around to find it. In fact, another best practice on sales pages is that you can include periodic links on the page, which will link down to the main section where you can order. And there's a particular type of technique within of HTML code called an anchor link. So it's a little more complex thing to do to be able to insert it in. You probably will have to manually code it in using HTML, but you can have a couple different references along the way where it says something like, you know, click here to sign up, click here to buy. And people click there, and instead of just taking them directly to the order page, it will typically drop you down lower on the page, and then you see the button, and then if you want to do, you could scroll back up. That's typically the way that piece is done. Alan said, have endorsements and a money-back guarantee on your sales page. Absolutely. Yeah, have testimonials from satisfied customers, and then include a money-back guarantee. On the money-back guarantees I add, I also add a little image there. The software that I use allows me to add an image, but you could find another image if you wanted to insert it. But something that looks like, you know, safe and secure, if you just have a text, you know, money-back guarantee, then it's, you know, it states all the same information, but having a picture just tends to make it look like it's more official. Sometimes they'll use a ribbon or something like that to make it look more official. Susan said, when he said, I recommend using a box, I saw a cardboard box in my mind, and then he said a big box, and I saw a refrigerator box. That's funny. Yeah, there's a particular style of boxes, like a feature box or a content box, and part of the styling is with the colors, and part of it is some of them may have like a line around the box or not have the line, and so it's a different style. But it's meant to draw out draw attention to something. And this technique has actually been used in direct mail copywriting for years as well. Many ad pieces, like direct mail sales letters that were sent out, would include call-out boxes. And you also see this within advertisements, like magazine advertisements and things like that. You might see things that are called out with a box. And it's because you don't want all of your copy just to lay on the page in just, you know, like black text on, you know, white print, because then everything just looks like everything else. And so what you have to think about is as people scroll through a sales page, certain things are going to grab their eye, it's going to draw their attention, it's going to encourage them to want to read more. And it's okay to have people jumping from one section of copy to the next, because it's all the process of assimilation. It's not like reading a novel. It's about, you know, getting them engaged and interested and wanting to read more, and something grabs their eye and they're like, ooh, that's interesting. So Roy said, LOL, Susan, looks like you are – that shows you're a visual artist, referring to the cardboard box and the refrigerator box. Susan said, I don't know about that, Roy, but I do know that I am not – so good at learning purely from audio information because my mind is always trying to visualize it, sometimes not very accurately. Susan said, I was just looking up something I had learned as an alternative to the Ada formula that Rick mentioned. The formula I learned from Glaser Kennedy is interrupt, engage, educate, and offer. Yeah, sounds like a pretty similar format. Interrupt would be the similar to grabbing attention because again, people are going about doing whatever it is that they're doing. And so, you know, a lot of the Glaser Kennedy style marketing might be, you know, direct mail or an advertisement or something else where you're trying to interrupt whatever else they're doing and grab their attention, draw them in. Engage, probably similar to interest in the sense that you are trying to draw them in. In fact, the word engage, it reminds me of the old publisher clearinghouse sales letters and mailers they used to send out in the old days. They used to have this thing where you would have to take a stamp and you would tear off the stamp and you would lick it and then you would drop it onto the or put it in a different place on the thing. So there was a saying that or a technique that if you get customers to or prospects to interact with your copy in some way, then that would increase the likelihood that they would follow through and actually mail that piece in. And in the online world, you know, it's not so much that we're trying to engage them in the sense that we're trying to get them to do something. I mean, yeah, we do want them to do something, which is to buy, but we don't have a little things to draw them through. Or I'll give you one little example. On some of the sales pages I have, there's a little checkbox in the upper left corner where it'll say something like, yes, you know, I want, you know, into the program or something like that. And you can click on that little checkbox. That would be, that's kind of an example of engaging. What's interesting is even if you don't click on the checkbox, you can still click on the box to purchase. It's an option which is not actually necessary to the functionality of the page. So that's a little secret behind that. If you see some of those things, oftentimes they are not required to proceed. Sometimes they might be, sometimes not. Educate, I do like that approach in terms of the education piece. And it goes back to the Robert Allen quote. Robert Allen says, everybody's in the education business. And so I like to embrace that ideal around education. So if you can give people ideas or information in the process of also, selling them at the same time or leading them to the purchase, I think that can be beneficial. And then the offer piece would be similar to the call to action as well. So very similar model, I think, some of the words that they use a little bit different, but interesting nonetheless. Susan said, I'm thinking I might put together either an ebook or a guide or a video training to sell for a low price about getting started with video. Awesome. Glad to hear it. Great job, Susan. Well, I just looked at the clock and we're already 4 minutes past the top of the hour, so it's time to end the call. And so as we're ending here, I want to encourage you to think about what actions you can take based on what you learned today. Did this inspire you to want to create a sales page? Or to do something that's going to help to build your business? Did it give you, did you learn some tips from Roy about writing effective headlines? Does that motivate you and inspire you to want to write some more headlines? Get into action. Get results. Thanks for joining me on the Sales Technology Training Call today. Have a great week and God bless.